Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, a breaking story in the Republican governor primary. You may have read about it yesterday. Maybe you didn't. Turns out that Rebecca Clayfish, the Duchess of Foxconn, who is running for the Republican nomination, is now in a essential tie with Tim Michaels. Back in 1995, was arrested. What were the circumstances? She was a student at Miami of Ohio. This is in Oxford, Ohio. This is when she was single. Her name was Rebecca Reed. She was arrested after stumbling intoxicated at 1:15 in the morning down a street. She was a sophomore at the Miami of Ohio. When the police came up to her, she gave them a false name, false age, and false social security number, which is obstruction. That's a separate crime, wasn't charged in this case. They put her in a squad car, took her down to the station, probably for her own safety. The young woman at 1:15 in the morning stumbling drunk along a street somewhere in a dark street is a very bad idea. When they got to the police station, she jumped out, bolted, and tried to get away. Now, that's, of course, that's crazy. A young woman like that intoxicated is not getting away from police officers, so they grabbed her and put her in handcuffs. She was cited for underage drinking, public intoxication, and resisting arrest. Now, this was in 95. As a result, she ended up leaving the university down there, came back to Wisconsin. I think her parents were finished up college. Now, I'm not being judgmental. I mean, if I had a nickel for everything everybody when they were 20 years old did, you know, I'd be a wealthy man. I mean, the point is, you have no judgment, but you have some rudimentary judgment. You know, do you jump out of a squad car and try to run away? Do you give them a fake name and age and social security number? So what's going on here? There was a guy, I think it was McCoshin, one of them, who had entered the race, and Clayfish's people did opposition research on him and leaked to the papers that one time up in Minnesota, he'd been in a bar with some people, had to relieve himself. There was a line at the airport, at the restroom, and he went out on the sidewalk and relieved himself. Okay, now that ain't great. Is that a little different from this? Maybe, but she's the one who leaked it, and it drove him out of the race. Now this one, she's already filed. And she's, up until now, until Michaels got in, everybody figured, well, she's the best of a bad lot. I mean, the Duchess should not be the governor. The Duchess was the cheerleader for Foxconn. You start giving out $4 billion to a Chinese company that scams you, you don't want that as governor. But in any event, against Ramphin and Nicholson, you say, well, she's the best of a bad lot. She's the best of a bad lot. But this time, it's a little more competitive. Her explanation for this seems to me the best thing would have been, yeah, I made a terrible mistake when I was 20 years old. And anybody who hasn't, let me know, but I'm not going to be getting many phone calls. A lot of people when they're 20 years old do crazy things. Although 20 is a little different from 16, I must say. I mean, 20 is getting, you know, what, you're 30 years old? You go, yeah, I made a youthful mistake. I made a youthful mistake. No, come on. Come on. In any event, it's the sanctimonious nature of this. A response was to attack the people that leaked it. You know, it's a shame that my opponents sneakily leaked this stuff without addressing the issues. Well, yeah, but you sneakily leak stuff on McCoshin without addressing the issues and, you know, whatever. So it remains to be seen what happens. I mean, it contributes to an impression of somebody who's not, frankly, ready to be governor. Governors are very, very tight. You know, we have a biannual budget that before you know it's going to be $100 billion. Not today or tomorrow, but it's very, very substantial. 80 billion, 75, 90 billion. It's very substantial. And when you have somebody who's the cheerleader for Scott Walker, who jumped up and down, give Foxconn billions of dollars, turn back $1 billion in Medicaid money and $1 billion in train money, in federal money that was ours, because we never get any of it back, saying we're conservatives, and then they just turned around and gave it to Minnesota and California, extra. And then Walker and Clayfish nevertheless assessed you and me another billion, almost $1 billion, for the Medicaid stuff that would have been handled federally. This is the gang that can't shoot straight. You got to have somebody who understands money. You have to have somebody who doesn't just run on bumper sticker slogans and fritter away, in this case, billions of dollars. So what's going to happen? I don't know. I will say, and a lot of people have said, well, if this is obstruction, that's a felony. Why isn't it charged? And here's a very sad thing. There is a parallel justice system for what I would call minor nonviolent things. This is nonviolent, where the police have the discretion and the district attorney has a discretion to either cite somebody municipally or charge them criminally. And for instance, disorderly conduct. It was a couple of college kids fighting in a bar. They're liable to say, throw them in the drunk tank to dry out and say, don't do it again, and cite them. It's a pink slip. It's sort of like speeding. So, and then you can just say, I was a municipal ordinance violation. I paid a fine. It doesn't appear on my criminal record. But if they want to, they can charge you with a misdemeanor in that case. In this case, with a felony. My advice to you is never give a fake name to the police. Never give a fake age. Never give a fake social security number. Never give a fake anything. You either cooperate, or if you are in real serious trouble, you can say, I want to talk to my lawyer first. But you do not lie to them. And that includes the FBI and others. So in this case, did the police act inappropriately? I don't think so. If there were a drunk UWM Marquette student coming down the street, the police would, for their own protection, young woman, 1:15 in the morning, staggering and stumbling down a dark street, very dangerous to her. For her own protection, they took her into custody to find out, you know, who her relatives or roommates were to come get her. She runs away from the squad car. That's, that is a very bad misjudgment. They get her, catch her. So she gets cited for resisting arrest as well. It would be very common to cite somebody, not just cite them, but criminally charge them for resisting arrest and obstruction. They didn't do it here, and I don't think they made the wrong decision. I think, you have somebody younger who has no record, made a mistake. You know, we're not being sanctimonious either. However, when you get into a race for governor, it does matter if you're sanctimonious against other people, like McCashin, who had to go to the bathroom and was drunk and did it in public on the street, knocked him out of the race. Not saying he would have been any good either, quite frankly. The thing that this points up to, if there's a net gain out of this, and he would be very wise not to say anything about it, is Michaels. Although he better start looking at the litany of his own indiscretions. I don't know that he has any, but, everybody, there's nobody that would want kind of an MRI given to his entire private life, his entire time. So probably his people are advising him, just shut up. And he will. But what happens if he's the nominee and what happens if she's the nominee? I don't think Rampton ends up being the nominee. Rampton is sort of you know, you kind of step back in horror as he steps out of the shadows, sort of a Quasimodo. Oh my God, you're Quasimodo? You're running for governor? Hey, listen, no way, Jose. Then you got Nicholson. Nicholson was a Democrat. He was the head of the Young Democrats nationally, or college Democrats. He gave a speech at the Democratic Convention, National Nominating Convention, blasting Republicans in the same language where he's now blasting Democrats. And this guy just said, well, I want to be in the Senate or governor, be an important guy. And in Wisconsin, you can't get a Democratic nomination without appeasing the woke mob, the identity politics mob. So I'm going to try to do it in the Republican Party and appease the MAGA mob. That's really what it comes down to. It's really what it comes down to. He's not going anywhere. The Duchess of Foxconn looked like the default candidate. The Duchess is heavily scripted. She was Walker's lieutenant governor. She ran in a multi-candidate primary. There are many of them. Walker didn't want her. Nobody wanted him. Not wanted her. But she sneaked in by a couple of percentage points. Now she's sort of Walker light. I mean, if you didn't like Walker, you're really not going to like Rebecca Clayfish. Let's get on with something new. I mean, even the Republican Party, let's have some new ideas for a change. Let's have some new ideas for a change. And so I think it's possible that Michaels gets the nomination. But if he does, Tony Evers has operated as a goalie to veto things that need to be vetoed. A lot of people initially thought that Michaels was sort of a Tommy Thompson type. In other words, he would shine everybody on the right with a lot of talk, but then deep down inside, he wouldn't betray our democracy or go MAGA nuts. Unfortunately, his ads are sort of MAGA nuts. So the problem is, if you think that somehow he is just woofing and that he'll turn around and be a Tommy Thompson, I'm beginning less and less to believe that, okay? Less and less to believe that. But it may end up being an Evers-Michaels ticket, and Evers is the goalie, a lonely goalie who's skating back and forth in front of the goal, vetoing, and that's the state of affairs in Wisconsin. We're going to break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.